Kent, in 2010, Governor Steve Beshear was with all the officials from American Municipal Power announcing the beginning of the project to generate hydroelectric power through the current of the Ohio River at Smithland. Would you tell me about this project, the scope of it, describe it?
American Municipal Power is developing a hydroelectric generation plant on the Ohio River at the Smithland Locks and Dam. It is called a run-of-the-river facility, which means that we are making use of the existing dam that has been there for decades, and we're adding a power plant or a generating facility onto the existing dam. We divert a portion of the water that would normally be flowing over the dam through our powerhouse, through our facility, and use that to generate electricity. So we're harnessing this potential energy of this river that's constantly flowing over the dam and using it to generate electricity in a way that is renewable and emissions-free.
One of your subcontractors recently gave a presentation to the Smithland Area Chamber of Commerce, Dave Riddle, who's a mechanical engineer with Voith Hydro, and he sort of explained that these turbines are over 10 stories tall, and that actually you all are developing sort of a very small city space to do this work.
To clarify, it's not the turbine itself that is 10 stories tall, it's the facility.
Okay.
So the powerhouse that we're constructing, the way we like to describe it is essentially a 10-story building or 10.5-story building, and 9 stories are underground.
Wow.
So the vast majority of this facility is not visible. It's underground and below the waterline. What is visible above ground really isn't that much higher than the existing dam. So in terms of the aesthetic impact of the project, it's very minimal. So yes, I mean, the way hydroelectric works in this application is you're taking, you know, the dam creates a high side and a low side, you know, upriver, downriver. And as that water falls from the high side of the dam to the low side of the dam, it has potential energy. So by diverting it through a powerhouse, letting it make that fall, we can use that then to the turbines and generate electricity. So that when it flows through the facility, it's actually turning rotors that look like boat propellers, large boat propellers, and the water flowing through spins them, and that's what spins the generators to make the to generate the electricity.
I should think the diversionary channels themselves are a major effort.
It's a big undertaking. It started out with building what's called a construction a cofferdam,
mm-hmm.
Which is a temporary structure that allows us to hold back water so we can excavate out and do the construction. Once the powerhouse is completed and you're ready to water up the facility, then the cofferdam is removed so that water then can flow through the facility and the channels that were created by the project. So yeah, it is a huge undertaking, and quite a bit of engineering obviously goes into both the planning and construction.
What will be the power generation per year?
Per year, I don't have the per year figure, but it's a 72 megawatt facility, which is one of the larger of the projects that AMP has under construction. 1 megawatt is enough to power approximately 1,000 homes for an hour. And so it generates that 72 megawatt. When it's operating at full capacity, it generates that 72 megawatts each and every hour. One of the things that we have to understand with this type of generation called run-of-the-river generation is the amount of power that's generated, or the operational characteristics of the plant, are affected by the river levels. You know, anyone who has lived or spent time along the Ohio River knows that the river levels can fluctuate fairly significantly through the year. In the spring and fall, you'll get high river levels with rain and fall and things like that. Typically, although I think this summer is a bit of an anomaly, but typically in the summer, July and August, you'll get drought conditions where river levels are lower. Those changing river levels impact our ability to generate electricity. So it is not going to generate at 72 megawatts all the time. And there's no way for us to control that. However, one thing that we always are quick to point out, AMP constructed and has operated another hydroelectric plant on the Ohio River for about 12, 13 years. It went online in 1999. It generates around 65% on an annual basis of its total capacity. So that's good. And we would expect similar experiences at the other ones that we have under construction.
Do you already have that power output under contract with energy providers to consumers?
At the Smithland project?
Yes, sir.
Yes. 79 of our member communities are participating in the project, and those are communities that own municipal electric systems. They're in five states, and they have contracted to purchase the power that's generated from that project along with the others that AMP has under construction.
In Kentucky, that would include which communities, do you suppose?
Paducah and Princeton. The forecast is it'll be online in 2015.
What's the total cost of this construction project?
We are developing three of the four projects in tandem, and so the total cost of those three projects is just over $2 billion, 2.05. We don't break it down between those three projects, you know, individually, because there are some things that were common between the three. For instance, Voith is supplying under a single contract all the turbines and generators for all three projects, and we do some joint purchasing of like diesel fuel and things like that. So, but the total for those three of those four projects is, as I said, just over $2 billion. It's a significant investment. That is an investment that is not only going into the utility, the electric infrastructure for this region, but also in those localities where these projects are under construction. I mean, it does have a positive economic benefit.
Talk about the construction employment and the operational employment potential.
Construction, kind of ebbs and flows depending on what phase we are in the project. The construction at peak would be approximately 400 construction workers on site. It's basically a four-year construction cycle. Once construction is complete and the plant is operational, it would be 7 to 9 full-time, permanent jobs to operate the facility. We're just operating a plant. The Army Corps will continue to operate the dam. We have to work very closely with them as they're operating the dam and we're operating the hydro facilities. There's a lot of interaction and a lot of working together. And it's one of the advantages of a hydroelectric plant as compared to some of the other base load generation resources out there is it doesn't take a lot of people to operate it. And so that's why, you know, it's 7 to 9 operators.
Well, God bless that river, huh?
And that is a great point, because those dams on the Ohio River were built, they were constructed in the 50s and 60s. They were not built for the purpose of generating electricity. They were built primarily to keep the river levels appropriate for the barge traffic and maintain the channels for the barges. They also help to mitigate some of the effects of some of the flooding that was occurring along the river. But what happened was, with all those dams on the river, as I said, you had this potential get energy that could be converted into electricity, and it was going untapped, largely. I mean, like I said, we have a plant that was done in the late 90s. There were some other plants that were done in the 80s. But by and large, those dams just, that potential was untapped. What AMP did was we went in, got a consultant, and looked at all the dams on the river that didn't have generation on them and ranked them, which had the best potential to generate electricity, and then moved forward. So we were able to secure the licenses to develop these four projects that had really the greatest potential.
Kent, thank you so much for speaking with me.
Absolutely. Thank you.